You may be seated. As we begin this Advent season, we are reminded of the promise and hope of the Old Testament people of God as they look forward in anticipation of the coming Messiah. By way of introduction to this season of Advent, there is a distinction between the season of Advent and Christmas. In our minds, sometimes the two kind of get blurred. Advent's focus is on the promise that Christ will come. Remember, we're thinking about the Old Testament people of God. We're putting ourselves in their shoes as they're looking forward to Messiah. During Christmas, we celebrate the fact that He has come. Jesus of Nazareth being fully God and fully man. So during this season of Advent, we are engaged in active remembrance in the similar way that we reenact events in the life of our nation. For instance, a reenactment of the Battle of Gettysburg. In our readings during these Sundays in Advent, we will draw heavily from the Old Testament prophets, especially Isaiah, as he foretells and prophesies of the coming Messiah. Also from the New Testament, we will draw heavily from the ministry of John the Baptist, as he was a contemporary of the Lord Jesus and proclaims his coming as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The mood of this season is one of joyful expectation as we actively remember God's promise of a Messiah to come. This morning we heard the announcement of the birth of a prophet and his ministry and message as it would prepare for the coming of the Lord. So this morning I want us to focus on the announcement of this prophet who would prophesy contemporaneously about the Messiah during his lifetime. So first, let's consider who the announcement of the coming prophet was first given to. The announcement of the coming prophet was first given to Zechariah, the father of this prophet and a faithful servant of God. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were described briefly by Luke in these words in Luke 1:6. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. That verse is not to say that Zechariah and Elizabeth were sinless, for they weren't. But what it does mean is they lived a life of consistent faithfulness and obedience to the Lord. Despite the things spoken about Zechariah in Luke 1:6, the reason why Zechariah was not able to speak for at least 9 months was due to his temporary unbelief when the angel Gabriel delivered the good news of a coming son to Elizabeth and to him. The angel Gabriel gave these words of reproof to Zechariah after Zechariah had questioned how he and Elizabeth, who were well advanced in years, could have a son. So Gabriel says this to Zechariah in Luke 1:19 and 20. The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." Now we can sympathize for Zechariah because Gabriel told Zechariah an astounding thing that was about to happen. How many of you women and men who are both in your 60s and 70s would really believe a message, "You're about to have a son"? Well, Zechariah should have believed the word of God given through Gabriel. We can take comfort that God brought the promise of a child to fulfillment despite Zechariah's unbelief at the time the message was given to him. Later on, after John's birth, Zechariah's mouth is opened and his song of praise is recorded in Luke 1:67-79, in which Zechariah praises God for fulfilling the promise of a Messiah, that his son will be called a prophet of the Most High, and his son will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways and to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. The point is that while Zechariah did not believe the message at the time it was given to him by Gabriel, his unbelief was not permanent. And through this long period of not being able to speak, Zechariah thoroughly repented of his unbelief. At the tail end of our reading from Luke 1, we hear the people of God waiting in the temple for Zechariah to come after he had administered the incense offering. The incense was used in Old Testament times to symbolize the prayers of God's people ascending to the Lord, even as the smoke of the incense ascended in the temple. The people kept waiting for Zechariah to come, and he didn't come, and he didn't come, and he didn't come. Our text revealed that the people wondered what had happened. What's up with Zechariah? What's the holdup? What's taking so long? What's the delay all about? This part of the narrative reminds us that God's people need to be a people of prayer who seek the face of the Lord. Zechariah and Elizabeth were faithful people of God who sought the face of God in prayer. Yes, they prayed for a child, but I also believe during their whole life, they were also praying for the birth and coming of Messiah. Even so, the people of Israel were praying and yearning for the coming of Messiah. And perhaps they wondered, what is the delay all about? Just like they wondered that about Zechariah. What is taking so long for Messiah to come? The last time a prophet spoke was Malachi. For 400 years, we talk about the 400 years of silence. Messiah was prophesied, and then 4 centuries. That's a long time for a people to wait, to be on their tippy toes in anticipation of God bringing his Savior and bringing to his people salvation. Why the delay? And I challenge you, in 2015, don't we say the same thing about Christ's second coming? What's the delay all about? I sure hope the Lord comes back before ISIS causes us more troubles. What's the delay about? Why is it taking so long? What more good could come out of his delay? Let's be reminded during this season of Advent, these closing words, the last 2 verses from the book of Revelation and the closing of the New Testament, where it says, "He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen." Zechariah and Elizabeth looked forward to the coming of Messiah, as did all the faithful people of God before Christ's first coming. They needed God's grace to patiently wait for his coming and not lose heart. We need the grace of Jesus Christ as we wait for Christ's second coming, so that we don't likewise lose heart, and as we continue to faithfully serve the Lord in this life. They wondered and we wondered, what's the delay all about? What's taking so long? And so I think, in a sense, Zechariah's delay as he offers the incense is really a paradigm about the Old Testament people of God and about us. We're going to be able to persevere and wait as we continue to pray and serve the Lord. Secondly, a second point I want to bring out in this passage in Luke chapter 1, as our passage focuses on the ministry of this prophet, whose message would prepare for the coming of the Lord. What would this prophet be like? In other words, what was his message and what would his character be like? In Luke 1:17, the angel tells Zechariah this about his son yet to be born. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 1:17 tells us then that he who was to come would come in the same spirit and power of Elijah. John the Baptist had many similarities to Elijah, a great prophet of the Old Testament. One similarity between the two is that both spoke the truth of God's word to people in power. Elijah and John the Baptist proclaimed God's word to people in power, and the people reacted negatively to the word of the Lord. And these prophets were punished because of that. And so they exemplify to us grace under fire. Elijah rebuked King Ahab and his wife Jezebel for their idolatry and for taking Naboth's vineyard and eventually his life. Elijah called him on the carpet. In fact, when Elijah confronts King Ahab on Mount Carmel, King Ahab says to Elijah, "You troubler of Israel." He was a thorn in his side. Elijah will have none of it. He says to Ahab, "No, you're the one who troubles Israel by your idolatry. You think I'm the one that's being the troublemaker? No, you're the one that's a troublemaker because you're not faithful to God." Can you imagine a prophet calling a king on the carpet? Because in those days, if you challenged the king, off with your head. They had that kind of authority. And so the temptation was, keep your mouth shut. Stay out of trouble. Isn't it still today? That same temptation for our martyrs, the blood of which is river deep up to their necks in China, in Syria, Iraq, Iran, and a major part of Africa. The blood runs deep, and the temptation is stay out of trouble, save your life, save your family's life. Elijah shows us godly courage and grace under fire. Same thing with John the Baptist. John the Baptist proclaimed God's word to King Herod. What was their issue? King Herod had taken his brother's wife while his brother was still living. That's the issue. And John the Baptist said to King Herod, "Your marriage is not lawful." He got thrown into prison. And of course, one day, Herod's daughter danced for him, and he said to her, "I'll give you half of my kingdom," because he was pleased by the dance. And Herodias' daughter consulted with her mother. Of course, Herodias wanted the head of John the Baptist served up on a platter. Truth to power can get you in trouble. But these men showed faithfulness to God under extreme duress and persecution. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. His message would bring fathers back to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. What was his basic message? John the Baptist's message is recorded in summary form in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He knew Jesus was coming, and he prepared God's people by preaching a message of repentance. But the John the Baptist's message also included the fact that Messiah was present during his ministry. And he pinpointed the Lord Jesus as the one who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist says that as it's recorded in John 1:29. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist says this about the Lord Jesus as it is recorded in Matthew 3:11-12. "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather up his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." That last little two verses is really talking about the fact that Jesus will save his people, that's gathering wheat into his barn, but the part about burning up chaff with unquenchable fire, that's the enemies of God who reject the gospel. And so both Jesus and John's message was both positive for those who respond to the kingdom of God, but also a message of warning and judgment for those who reject John and Jesus. A forerunner in ancient times ran ahead to deliver a message from a king. Even so, John the Baptist thundered the word of the Lord in a Judean wilderness, telling people to repent of their sins and to look to the Lord Jesus, the Savior and Messiah of the world. John's message was one of hope for those who believed in Christ as Messiah, but it was also a message of warning. If you did not trust in Messiah as Lord, then you would suffer God's judgment. John the Baptist's message still speaks to us as he reminds us of our duty and our privilege to repent, for the kingdom of God and Christ has come. And he calls on all of us to bring forth fruit of repentance. May we be a people who make ready and are prepared for Christ our King when he comes again in glory, as we heed John's message right now, day by day, and as we trust in God's Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away all our sins. Let us pray.